It's been a long time in my life since I've been in a place and seen 10 people in the same service following believers' baptism. It's something that makes me think, why do I not see that more often? Why is that such a rarity in today's world, the way we live our lives? It's such a beautiful picture of a new start. How many of you guys can remember the day that you were baptized? Well, a lot of us can. Any of you know you were baptized but don't remember a thing about it? Me and John Turner, there we go. I was one of those guys that had to be dunked twice, because the first time I did it, I just wanted attention. But there was nothing spiritual that happened in me. There was no life change. I was probably smaller than Riley, and I just knew you got a lot of attention, and people they stood you on the front pew, and people came by and they shook your hand, and I wasn't getting enough attention at home. It was my mom's fault, and so I ran forward before she could stop me. But later in my life as a teenager, I remember that day. I remember the hope of that day, the hope of a new start. And one of my favorite things about golf is the mulligan. Because and a lot of you have played golf with me, and you know it's probably the best shot in my bag. The guy that plays behind me, that second guy, he's a lot better than that first guy. But there's just something refreshing about the hope of a new start. I want you guys to think back to that day that you accepted Christ. If you haven't accepted Christ yet, there's no shame in that for you. This might be the day of salvation for you. You might be exactly where God wants you to be today. But this little piece right here, this is for believers, people who have at one point in their time realized that they were spiritually dead, accepted the free gift of God's grace through the blood of Jesus, and received Jesus into your life. And since that day, Through peaks and valleys, through mistakes, through successes and failures, through embarrassments, through all that stuff, you've tried to walk this life, this road of following Jesus. This is to you. I want you to think back to that. And I want you to think about what it felt like when your whole life was before you, when you still had really, really big dreams. You weren't cynical yet. And maybe that's not happened to anybody else, okay? But you weren't pessimistic. You were still optimistic. You still had really big dreams. You hadn't given in to the harsh reality that it's not so fun being a grown-up. Do you remember what it felt like? I can remember it like it was yesterday. Just the thought of all the things I was going to do with my life. How my life was going to be nothing like my parents' life. How all these sad old people, that was not going to be me. I was never going to become one of those frozen chosen who believe the Bible and they're mad about it. It was never going to happen to me. And then somewhere along the line, and it doesn't happen overnight. It happens little by little. You kind of find yourself getting more cynical. You find yourself starting to expect the worst in people. You start, more times than you'd like to admit, feeling like you're the victim. And the world is just taking advantage of you. Guys, if you were baptized today, my prayer for this sermon is that you would, maybe we would see some things out of God's Word today that would never let you get to that place. I think there are truths here that if we would live by them, would protect us from a lot of mistakes that we make. And if you're a person who would honestly say, I'm that person who I lost that luster a long time ago. And right now I don't see the world the way that I saw it back then. That maybe just by going back to the Word of God, we would find a few things that we could cling to. Not that this is going to be two pills that you're going to take and you're going to see things differently tomorrow. But that this would be a spark that would rekindle a passion in you to remember what really matters. If that were to happen today, that would be more than I could ever ask or imagine in this time. So if you would, just pray with me. And I want to pray towards that end. Father, we sang earlier, not to us, but to your name be the glory. right now, I pray nothing else than that Your name would get glory, Your truth would be held up, and it would find fertile places to land in people's hearts. Do that in our midst, and we would be grateful, and we would be better for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I've got to tell you something. I'm not the biggest poetry guy in the world. You might look at me and think, that guy has got culture. He's classy. My T-shirt says, I'm not a jukebox. There's some anger in me that I carry around all the time. And also, I wear free T-shirts. And that's about as cultured as I get. A worship leader friend of mine gave me this shirt that says, I'm not a jukebox, because he said, don't let people think they can put a quarter in you and pick the song you're going to play. I really don't know what that means, but I get all kinds of conversations started in Walmart and all kinds of places. And I think people walk away thinking, what an angry, small little man. But anyway, I'm not huge into poetry, never was. I never was much for literature. But I came to the realization that most music is in fact poetry. And the Psalms were poetry that was most of them were put to music. And so when I started looking at poetry like music, I realized, that makes it a lot more bearable. You know, it's kind of like you can read it and then you can put your own tune to it. And so I've kind of rediscovered some poetry. And you know, there's old poets that, you know, we had to read in school that we probably don't want to be reminded of. And then there are new poets that have their stuff on MTV and VH1 and 89.1. And all those people are really trying to express things that start in here and are looking for a way out. As I think about this journey that this symbolizes, it symbolizes an old life and a new life. That in Christ, you're buried with Christ, and then there's a new life that starts, and it's fresh and it's clean, it's eternal. It starts today and it goes on forever. It's a journey. Most poetry that you're going to read, most music that you hear is written about that journey. There's an old poem by a guy by the name of Robert Frost. The name of the poem is The Road Not Taken. And it goes something like this. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. What I want to talk to you guys about this morning are those two roads. Because the reason that the luster is gone from a lot of your spiritual lives is because you haven't chosen the right road. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood in your life. And the choice that you made way back then, the things you sold yourself to, have led you to a place, maybe, that you really wish you didn't find yourself today. There's another poet. This guy is probably more angry than the other poet. I know this guy. I've hung out with him, and I know his depravity. And he puts his poetry to music. And his name is Ross King. He lives in the great state of Texas, although he went to the possibly satanically possessed University of Texas A&M University, which in Texas, you either love them or you hate them, and most people hate them. Unless you are one of them, you pretty much hate them. But Ross is one of those guys. He has contemporaries. He has guys he hangs out with. One of them's named Chris Tomlin. They went to college together, and that's the kind of group that, for those of you who don't know Chris Tomlin, he writes, he probably wrote a lot of the songs we sang this morning. And Ross was one of those guys, and he wrote a song that you're never going to hear it on 89.1 because it goes against the grain of culture. And it's called Things That Matter. And it's about this journey. It's about which road you find yourself on. And some of the lyrics go like this. I'm going to say it now. I should have a long time ago. It's what we're all about. We can't pretend we don't know. It's something nobody ever really speaks of. It isn't God, but it's the God that we have given our love. And that love is wasted because His honor and His glory and His kingdom are the only things that matter, really. It seems we never, rarely live for what's eternal. And those are the only things that matter at all. We've made a lover of anything that loves us. Still trying to find a way to strike it rich and follow Jesus. And it's crazy because your honor and your glory and your kingdom are the only things that matter, really. It's sneaking around outside. It's crouching down at my door. It's teaching me to lie. It can't be ignored. So when I sit at the table of a rich man, I put a knife to my chest so that I will not give in to temptation. Because your honor and your glory and your kingdom are the only things that matter. Guys, there's a road that we choose to take that seems okay because it's the road that our whole country takes. That's not all it was cracked up to be. You see, you have one road that's wide. And it's got a lot of flashing neon. And it's got a lot of arrows directing you to where it thinks you ought to go. And there's a lot of money that's spent promoting it. And it gets you to buy in little by little. It gets you to let your guard down. And before you know it, well, it's like it talks about in James. Sin starts when we're tempted and then we're dragged away. Well, this road will drag you away. It's the road that I would call the American dream. Guys, I love nice stuff. Despite the way that I dress and the Jeep that I drive and a lot of things in my life, I really do love nice things. I love for my family to have nice things. And I do all that I can within my power, within my calling, to provide everything I think my family needs. But there was a time in my life when I was selling myself in order to do that. It's not like I was a male prostitute or anything. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Not that any of you were thinking that. But I sold myself every week. I got on an airplane and I flew all around the country talking about things that didn't matter to me. They weren't anything about His honor and His glory and His kingdom. And they made me a person that I didn't want to be. They made me a person that was enduring the weeks to get to the weekends. And all the while I was doing ministry on the weekends. Am I saying that you have to be doing in ministry all the time to live for His honor and glory? No, not at all. But I am saying this, whatever you're doing, it should point to the honor and the glory and the kingdom of God. If it doesn't, which it didn't in my life, then shake yourself and do something else. Do something where you can live for His honor and His glory and His kingdom every day. I want to give you a couple pieces of advice. Now, that's basically all I had to say from me. Okay, everything else hopefully is from the Word of God. And I want to give you, if you're dependent, can you repeat that, please? It's probably the first thing Ray's understood that I said all day right there. I love Ray Jones. And thank God for Ray Jones. He's that's a different story. Anyway, let me go on. I want to give you an Old Testament reference and a New Testament reference. No matter where you are on this journey, if you were baptized 30 years ago, if you were baptized today, the journey is the same. You're just in a different place on that journey. And just like I said when I was baptizing Alan, as long as there's breath in us, don't buy the lie that it's too late for you to change the course of your life. If you have your Bibles, open them up. We're going to look at two references, one in Proverbs chapter 4 We'll start there, and then you might go ahead and find Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at those two passages. And I'm just going to pull three pieces of advice that are really simple, and you might not understand them at all because they're the way that I think. But three things, and I understand it has to be three things because this is a sermon, right? Three things, and I had a poem, 3 points and a poem. It's almost like I've been doing this my whole life, but not quite. Three things that I want you to take, not from me, but from the words of the wisest man apart from Jesus that ever lived, King Solomon, and the writer of most of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Okay? We'll start with, and I want to read both of these passages. They'll be on your screen if you don't have your Bible. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 20. And go to the end of the chapter. I'll be reading from the NIV, which will be on your screen as well. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. If the wisest man who ever lived sat in front of you and said, Tyler, I know you got baptized today. Listen closely. There's going to be a quiz later. Okay? You need to know this. Pay attention. Listen closely to these words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. I think if that would apply to whoever Solomon was writing to, it applies to us today. Keep these words within your heart. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, it's like Jack Palance and City Slickers. You know, when he flashed that 4-foot-long finger, the first finger, and he said, you know what's important? That one thing. And that's where the sound theology leaves that movie, because they go on to say, it's whatever you want it to be. No, it's not whatever you want it to be. It's the same for all of us. The one thing that's most important is His honor and His glory and His kingdom. Solomon said it like this, above all else, guard your heart. For it's the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. And now flip over to Colossians chapter 3, if you would. We will go back to that passage a couple of times. Colossians chapter 3, same type of advice, this time from the Apostle Paul, in light of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, just like we talked about here. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Listen to that. When Christ, who is your life, who is your life? Your life is who? So your life is about who? It's not about me? This must be a misprint. Because That cannot be true in the American culture. That our lives are really not about us. The horror. How could this be? Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed. Which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Lost my spot. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. You need to rid yourself of these things. Listen. Anger, rage, malice, slander. What is slander? Talking about somebody. None of us are ever guilty of that, are we? We never feel like we can just voice our opinion because we have one, do we? We never call that slander, though, do we? It's just, we're sharing as a prayer request. That's right, Jackie. That's right. Get rid of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its Creator. Here, in this place where everything's being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its Creator, here, in that place, there's no Greek or Jew. There's no Hals or Powell. There's no circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all, as in all. Therefore, because of all that, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Is that in bold in anybody else's Bible? It's not. It must just be mine. Be thankful. There are a lot of days where I think, why do you whine so much? Be thankful. Look at all God's done. And some of us, if that's all you hear today, a thankful heart is a fertile heart. It's a heart where God can do a lot of things. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Last verse. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Three things that I want to take from all those verses. Okay, just three things. You ought to be able to get three things, right? This means yes? You still with me? We're okay? I really wasn't planning on having this much time to preach. I really thought Brian Lloyd would yammer on and on and on and on as he was baptizing Riley, and then he'd break down in a heap and we'd have to carry him out. And so, I'm just kidding, Brian. I love you, man. Three things. First thing is this. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. Why do I say that? That sounds like a girly thing to say, doesn't it? I mean, John Turner, has anybody told you that today? John Turner might be the toughest man I've ever met in my life. Protect your heart, John. Why? Because somebody's going to hurt your feelings? No, that's not what I mean. I don't think you could hurt his feelings. Why do I say protect your heart? It's because of this. There's this little verse in Luke chapter 12 that says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Guys, one of the reasons that maybe some of us who are 40 and up or 35 and up or 21 and up or 18 months and up have maybe lost some of the luster of this Christian life is because maybe we've put our heart at risk. Because we've put it in the wrong place. Maybe when the two roads diverged in the yellow wood of our life, we had this thought. We thought, God's will, my will. What God wants, retirement plan. What God wants, new stuff. What God wants, or this life of faith where you have to pray, give me this day my daily bread. And maybe way back then, we made a choice. I'm getting mine. And maybe it wasn't that blatant for you. Maybe it was with, well, I got to be a provider. You know, I've got to finish what I started. I started this degree. I don't know what it was for you, but if there ever came a point where it became an either or there came this point where you started seeing your stuff as your stuff, then we have the problem. As my friends in Haiti say, I have the problem. I have no mother, no father, no money for school. See, for them, give me this day my daily bread means, really, give me today some bread. Do you have any bread? And that's not like a 60s term for money. That's like, no, you got something I can eat. That's life. And guys, that means nothing to us. Because how many of you, literally, I mean, if you were honest with yourself, think, what am I going to eat today? I mean, it might be ramen noodles. You know, ramen noodles, the cheap noodles. It might be something like that, but you know what? You can live a long time on those things. And next time we go to Haiti, we need to bring those, by the way. You'd feed a village on ramen noodles. You just need to boil the water, right? None of us think that way because we have so much. And you know what? We think we deserve that much. And if we were really honest with ourselves, we would say, I deserve more. Well, God, why do they have... What about me? That comes into our thinking. And guys, I don't blame that on any individual. I blame it on a culture that feeds it to us all the time. All the time. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with enjoying God's provision for your life. But don't enjoy that more than you enjoy the God that provides it. And God, guys, that's the danger. When we put our heart in the wrong place. When we put our heart in a place where Luke 12 says where thieves can steal and moths can destroy it. And if you go to the Proverbs, I think it's around Proverbs 23, where it talks about, it was in my friend Ross King's song when he said, when I sit at the table of a rich man, I put a knife to my chest so that I don't give in to temptation. Why? Because I don't want to want that more than I want God. And there are some people, I know some incredibly gracious, generous, awesome people who God's blessed financially, and they bless the kingdom, and it's beautiful. A lot of times I think this, God's not going to give me that because He knows how I am. He knows I'd go crazy. I might be one of those guys who needs to put a knife to my chest so I don't give in to temptation. Because the latter part of that passage says that wealth is fleeting. It's like an eagle. That 1 minute's there, it just flies away and it's gone. And if that's where your heart is, and your heart flies away, that just might make somebody cynical. It might make them pessimistic. It might make them angry and critical and judgmental. It just might lead us to a place where it's hard to have that faith of a child that says, oh, you're saying jump? Okay. Because a lot of us, if He's calling us to jump, we're thinking about all the stuff we'd be leaving behind to jump. And we're thinking, how can I carry this all with me and jump? I think it's why Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. Not because of the money, because how are you figuring out how to take it in with you? But Luke 12 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And it says, store up treasure in heaven where no thief can get to it, where no moth can destroy it. Build for yourself a purse that never wears out. Protect your heart. If you want to restore the luster to your life, to your Christian walk, ask yourself the question, God, in my life, where I am right now, what does it look like for me to protect my heart? Have I given to my heart to things that aren't worthy of my heart? Have I given my heart to things that can't protect my heart? Have I given my heart to something that's going to just fly away one day? I'm not assuming you have. You ask yourself that question. All of us. If you're not tempted with that today, you very well may be tomorrow. Because this I know for sure, we all have the same enemy. Amen? We all have the same enemy. And the enemy's goal for all of us is exactly the same, is it not? He wants to kill, steal, and destroy everything about you, everything about me. That's his only agenda. He's got a few tricks that he's really, really good at. And one of them is that dangling that something out that he thinks you want. All depend. Or do you want it? It depends on what your treasure is. It depends on where your heart is. First thing I'd say is this: protect your heart. That's right out of Proverbs 4:23 when it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Wellspring of life. It's impossible to have real life when your heart's in the wrong place. In Colossians, Paul said this. He said, set your heart on things above and not on earthly things. Set your mind on things above. There's that line in Ross's song that says, we make a lover of anything that loves us, still trying to find a way to strike it rich and follow Jesus. Guys, I would love to strike it rich, and I think I could follow Jesus. I could buy the land next door for the church, and we could build something great there, and all kinds of people would come to know Christ because of me, because I'm so generous. Well, if that's so true, why does that not happen for me? Because I know in my heart I'm not that generous. I'm not that. I constantly have to keep my heart in check, and so do you. Protect your heart. It's the wellspring of life. The second thing I would say this is this: simplify the picture. First thing, protect your heart. Second thing, simplify the picture. Any of you guys have kids? Come on, I know you're still there. I see them all over the place. Any of you guys, when you're reading books to your children, any of them ever bring you one of those books that's a hidden, find the hidden object thing? I love those. You know, we had two of them. One of them was a Winnie the Pooh thing, and you had to find all the honeypots in different places. And then there was a Batman one that was really cool too. And it was huge. It was as big as this thing, and it was chaos. There were socks hanging from trees and honeypots and in little holes in the ground, and you had to find whatever it was, the object was. And I remember spending hours with my children trying to focus on that thing, trying to find those things. I remember celebrating and high-fiving when we found one. And then after we saw it, the picture was a little clearer. You know, you could always go back and say, oh yeah, I remember that one right there. But for every part of the picture that was clearer, there was still chaos everywhere else. You ever had one of those things? You guys might know the name of it. One of those things that you're supposed to stare at and you're supposed to focus on, and the longer you focus on it, a picture appears in it. Anybody know what that's called? Huh? Craziness? It's DL. DL went to Haiti with us too. That's what happens to you. What's that? Magic eye. Magic eye. I don't think I'm going to look at those anymore. We're not supposed to. Well, anyway, it's one of those things, you know, where you stare at something and you focus, you take your focus off. Like I could stare at, Tyler's got a big H on his. What does that H stand for? Halls. Oh, okay. That's where you're going. I could stare at that and I could keep looking at it and never really change my eyes, but I can look at it long enough, everything around it gets blurry. You know that? Everybody do this. Come on, do this. Now take that and put it right in front of your eyes. Now focus on where your fingers come together as you do that. And does a little third finger show up between those two? It does, doesn't it? If it's not, you're doing it wrong. Keep trying. Okay, keep focusing. Is there really a third finger right there? There's not. But it looks like a little nugget of finger. It's possible, people, that we could stare at things in our lives so long that, number one, we start to see things that aren't there. And the things that we see become really confusing. Our lives could be one of those find the hidden object things. And you ever just wake up and you're just confused? You just wonder, God, what is my life about? Especially, Mike Bates, after you... leave a job and you think God's calling me to ministry, and I go to that job and then I'm not happy and my family's not happy and I don't know what you're doing. Probably never happened to anybody but me and Mike Bates. But there was times, guys, when I tell you, I woke up thinking, God, Tennessee? Seriously. These people hate me, God. And I'm not so sure I like them either. And everything in my life look confusing. Simplify the picture. Where is that in Scripture? Look at Colossians 3, 1 and 2. We just read it. We just talked about it. It says, then, since then you've been raised in Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Over in Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon said, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze. Well, okay, depends on what you're looking at. If you fix your gaze on those fingers and they get too close, you start seeing things that aren't there. If you take your hand and you put it right in front of your face, you can't even see your palm anymore. You've heard the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes we get so close to our lives become this jumbled mess. I told you I like stuff. Got a new TV for Christmas. High definition. Got a high definition receiver too. Didn't know you needed one of those. That's how they get you. You got the TV, but it looks horrible until you get this other thing. But I got one. I only get like 10 channels that look that good. And one of them is the Discovery Channel that never has anything on it but like pictures of crickets. But I tell you what, when I got that high definition thing and I was looking at it was awesome. It was a cricket. I'd never seen a cricket like that. I played with crickets all the time. I didn't know they had like hair all over. All that's awesome. It doesn't matter what I'd be looking at on that thing. The detail was incredible. I saw things that I could never see before. Guys, your life in Christ can be that high definition picture where you see clearly every detail, but only if you set your mind and your heart on things above and you don't buy into everything you see around you. Because if you do, the more you buy into, and I've got three children, next year, high school, middle school, elementary school, I'm thinking, I don't need a life of my own. You know, I don't have time for one. And you guys have been there. If you haven't been there, you're going to be there. It's easy to lose perspective in that. Simplify the picture. How? I don't know. Start by saying no to some things. Start by asking God, what does it mean for me to fix my eyes straight ahead? To not be distracted by everything I see around me. What does it mean for me to set my mind and heart on things above? And if that's what it means, see, we all have this little thing in us when we accept Christ. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's that part of God that lives in you. It guides you into truth. See, if you ask that question with a sincere heart and you cry out to God, you seek Him, you ask Him to answer that question, He will start to answer that question for you. But it's going to come a point where you have to make a decision about what He tells you. You going to say no to some stuff? You going to change some things? Because the American culture says, oh, just add more stuff. We just keep adding stuff. The picture gets more and more confusing. First thing, protect your heart. Second thing, simplify the picture. Third thing, redefine what's primary. Redefine what's primary. Put first things first. In Revelation chapter 2, talking about the church at Ephesus, John the Revelator wrote this, the words of Jesus. And I'll just read it for you real quick. Just one verse out of John chapter 2. Out of Revelation chapter 2, sorry. Said some things that they did well. He knew their deeds, their hard work. They were good people. They didn't tolerate wicked men. But then he said this in Revelation 2:4. Yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. You remember when you accepted Christ, when your whole life was there to be written? And you remember the things that you did at first? You remember the things that you didn't even know how to do, that you attempted to do, because it was all so new that this God who created everything loved you and His grace covered you. And there was nothing the enemy could do to snatch you out of His hands. You remember? You got to start there. You can't just be calloused. I play guitar a lot. Not very well, but I play it. And you could jab knives into my fingers and I couldn't feel it because I have calluses built up there. I'd probably feel it eventually. Actually, don't try that at home, kids. Really. A lot of us have those things all over our hearts. We've become so cynical that we've got these tough places around our hearts that, you know why they're there? They're there to keep you from feeling pain. That's why I have these calluses. That God put it, made my finger smart enough to know that hurts. And so I'm going to put these little patches of dead things around there that keep you from hurting. They were never meant to be around our hearts. Harden not your heart. That's what the Bible says. Redefine what's primary. Colossians 3, 3 and 4. For you died and your life is now hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Who's your life?
Christ
is your life. Your life is not the sum total of your bank account, your assets. Subtract your bills and that's what you're worth. But that's how the world would want you to view yourself. If you would go to a bank, that's how they would value you. You're so much more valuable to God. Redefine what's primary. What are you really here for? Is it really about you? Is it really about making the paycheck? Is it really about the school my kids go to? Is it really about... Just fill in the blank. Ask yourself the question. How does that relate to who God is and who God wants to show Himself to be to the people who are around me? You know, we live in a society where we go the wrong places looking for the wrong things. You know, I don't go to Walmart looking for marriage advice. Although there's some very wise people that sit at the doors wearing those little blue vests. And they'd be glad to give you all kinds of advice. I don't go there looking for it. I go there to buy important things like ink cartridges and French bread and toilet paper. That I go to Walmart for those things. How silly would it be for if Angie and I have a fight for me to go to Walmart and try to use it for something it wasn't created for? Andy Coleman and I, Andy Coleman, in spite of me, built that thing yesterday. He has the coolest tools. It's like that would have taken me a week. He did it in a couple of hours because he was using things that were created for the purpose for which they were created for. There's a primary purpose for this and it was used for that. You guys have a primary purpose. And joylessness comes when you try to use what was created for the glory of God for the glory of me. I don't watch Jerry Springer to learn how to raise my kids. America would want you to think you should. I don't watch Super Nanny to get parenting skills. There's another source for that information. And it's not Dr. Phil. And it's not Oprah. There's a place where truth resides. And in here is the answer to every question you're going to have. But guys, we selectively choose, well, I'll take that piece, but I don't want that piece. I'll take that piece, I don't want that piece. That leads you to a place where your heart ends up in the wrong place. You have the wrong idea about what you were created to do. And you end up cynical. We've all been there to some degree. But you don't have to be. Here's the hope, and I'll close with this. In the book of Philippians, Apostle Paul said this, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in you." See, you don't have to come up with it all yourself. You don't have to simplify the picture yourself. You just have to be willing to say, okay, when God tells you how to simplify it. You don't have to figure out where to put your heart. He'll show you where to put your heart. He started it in you, and He'll finish it in you. The problem is we give up along the way, and we resign ourselves to small dreams, to bland religion, to church once a week, and no spiritual life outside of it. Guys, that's not abundant life. And God wants so much more for you. Tyler Delaney, never end up in that place. Guard your heart. guards your heart. Simplify the picture of your life. Don't clutter it up with... You don't have to make a lot of the mistakes that people with this color hair have made. You don't have to. And redefine what's primary. Ask yourself regularly, what am I here for? And then trust God to do the rest. Let's pray together.